Good morning. Welcome to Town Talk. I'm Jay Wilson. We are brought to you by Nudie Computers, Disability Resources, and America Matters Media. Nudie Computers takes in old computer products. We're totally donation-based. Towers, flat screens, keyboards, mice, pretty much anything electronic also. We either refurbish and repurpose them to either resell or give to the disabled community, or we recycle everything. And if you are a disabled individual living in Washoe County, you can get a free computer system from us. Just call in and or come by would be better. We'd like to see you. Pick up an application for the system, and we could probably get you one within 2 days. It's a tower, a 17-inch screen monitor, a keyboard and mouse. It has a 160 gigabyte hard drive, and it has Windows 7 and Office 20. Oh, no, just Windows 7 on that one. But you can get Office 2010 if you need it for a very discounted price from us. We are located at 50 East Gregg, Suite 103. Our number is 329-1126, extension 216. And today, Stacy's in the store helping people, so give us a call. If you have questions today or comments or anything, and you want to talk to us at the station, you can call in at 844-790-8255 or text us at 775-237-2266. And today, we have a completely different off-the-subject thing happening. We've been talking about some education with some other guests before, and we have someone from Triad School today. We have Yvonne Blende.
That's correct.
It's almost French. You need a little like Santegu over your name. But Yvonne is here, and she is one of the founders of Triad, her and Julie Power, correct? Yeah.
That's correct.
Her and Julie Power started this. It's a K through 8th grade?
Yes.
School. So I've tried to do my research because I'm fascinated by this. And your curriculum is amazing. Let's talk about what the curriculum is, what you guys try to do there with children.
Well, what we're trying to do is we create custom paths for each child that comes in. So most children, they, like most of us, we don't fit in a box.
Right.
And so most schools are set up to, when your child comes in, I don't know, an example, I'm not doing my math in my head right now, but if they're 8 years old,
yeah,
they're going to be in second grade.
Yeah, about there, yeah.
Correct. And what ends up happening, though, is that 8 year old may be functioning at a second grade level for math.
Right.
Maybe they're functioning at language arts at third or fourth.
Yeah.
So, if you know what I've told most people that come in, if your child can, is performing and happy at a traditional school, that's great. You should consider yourself lucky.
Yeah.
I, as a parent, am not that lucky.
I know, huh?
So, what we ended up doing is our school started off with the idea of doing gifted education. And with gifted children, you have some asynchronous development that goes on with them.
Yes.
So right away, as soon as we started the school, what we realized we were doing is we were creating custom paths for each child, because one may have strengths in, once again, math.
Right.
Maybe they'll have a weakness or, you know, just average language arts.
Right.
And right away, what we realized, this doesn't have to be just for gifted children. This, I mean, every child.
That's very true.
Truly deserves this type of education.
They do. I truly believe that. I was a gifted minor. I was in Southern California, mentally gifted minors from second grade to eighth grade. And to see the difference between what we learned in that program versus regular school, I was surprised not everyone wasn't doing this.
It's gifted education is a lot more interesting.
Yes, yeah, that's very true. We got to do some great things.
Exactly. You have real world applications.
Yes.
And you understand why you're learning
that's
something.
The only place I learned about a checkbook.
That's sad.
And that is sad. I mean, that is the only place I knew what a checkbook was and how to balance it from that program.
And you've brought up the perfect example is what I've noticed with a lot of gifted children is it's not just their academic performance.
Right.
It's also, it's their personality that comes along with it.
Yes. And their social skills and their interactions. And
absolutely.
Yes.
And so the point I'm making on that is that most, I'm not going to say most, but you have gifted children are, they're throughout our economic, social.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And it's not just your, you know, upper class.
Right.
It's all over, 10% of the population. So, but not all of those children are identified. So if you have a lower income family that most, maybe two parents are working, maybe it's a single parent household, what I see, and I could say I was kind of the same way, is those gifted children become angry.
Yes.
Distressful.
Bored.
Bored.
They basically become, that's what I had become, was bored also.
Exactly.
And just, you know.
Well, is that, yes. And you end up, people look at them, they don't look at this child as a child that's bored, that's trying to entertain themselves.
Right.
That child becomes the troublemaker. They get
yes, I was identified at first grade as a troublemaker because I knew more than the teacher did on a lot of things. And yes. I wasn't afraid to tell her because I grew up, my parents raised me to voice my opinions, be myself, you know, be honest and courteous. But I did. Unfortunately, the teacher didn't like that. When I was growing up, I'm old, I'm 51. And teachers back then, I had an older teacher, of course. And you don't talk back to a teacher and you're never right. It's the teacher that's always right. And you don't point that out in front of class several times to people.
There's lots of power struggles that go on.
And
with
then
those
in
teachers.
Second grade, I got a very progressive teacher, Mr. Bohan, thank goodness for him, who got me identified as, and I tested very, very high, and got me into the program. But there were other kids I knew that I felt should be in there because I felt they were smarter, not smarter than me, but they weren't into the program because they didn't test high on certain places.
Yes. And, you know, those tests, those assessments are a snapshot of what
Very
that child
true.
Is doing on that day.
Right.
So, and I don't know, it's difficult because those gifted children that don't get identified, they've become angry teenagers.
Yes, they do. Very much so. I've seen that very many times. And growing up where I was, it was very affluent. It was the Palm Springs area. And those kids were bored, but they had money, too. So they got into all kinds of trouble, you know. And I saw so many of the people I cared about, my friends, get into so much trouble back then. It was just sad that there was nothing for them that the schools would point out and say, oh, you know, you've got this going on, but you're very bright about this. Let's work on that versus just what we need you to get through to get our funding.
That's exactly was my experience in high school. I didn't take the study halls because they
right.
were boring.
Yeah,
I was the child that never did my homework. My senior year of high school, I showed up for class, and it was the second day of the semester, and I was called down to my counselor's office, and the counselor says, what are you doing here? And I give his, what do you mean?
I don't know, obviously.
Good question. She's, you have enough credits to graduate. You need to go home.
Wow.
And it was because she never thought I was the child that was going to go to college. I was just that dismissed. Okay.
She's not going to do anything.
Yeah. So
send her on her way. Let her go out and get pregnant. Bye.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I did something I never got pregnant, but I went and got a full-time job at Hardee's.
Right.
Which was basically
look at that. You're
McDonald's,
making money.
Yes. Yeah. Doing the drive-thru from 6 to 3 in the afternoon.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And that was also a mindset for a long time. You either had to go to college or trade school or nothing.
Right.
You know, nothing in between. There's nothing else you can do. Just that's it. You get to choose these two or buy.
Well, see, I'm from the Midwest. My family, there were farmers from the Midwest. If you got a high school diploma, you're golden.
You've got everything. Yeah, I know. And now it gets you a little ways, but you still need a college degree, honestly, to get in the door anywhere.
I feel, yes, I think the college degrees today are the equivalent of high school degrees.
I do too.
And I was so unprepared leaving high school and going into college. And what I've seen, I have a sister who's much younger than me.
Yeah.
She's 16 years younger. So I got a little bit of a viewpoint of the education of what it is today.
I'm 16 years younger than my next sister.
Wow.
I came along really late in my parents' life. Same kind of situation.
Same parents for me.
Yeah.
But what I realized is watching her grow and not go, we'll say stumble through the public education system. What I saw was that for the first 2 years of college, most students are making up what they didn't learn in high school.
That's very true.
And then they're paying for it.
Yeah, and then you're behind when you thought you were ahead. Even if you took college prep classes back then, which I did, I still had struggled, and I ended up just leaving college, honestly, in the beginning. I struggled for the first semester, and I just like, you know, nothing I learned set me up for this.
Right.
But I did get to party a lot. Oh, man.
I get that one, too. What I realized is, in retrospect, what I looked back was that high school, it wasn't that I it was that I didn't learn enough. But what they didn't teach me was how to learn.
Correct. That's very true.
I learned how to get by.
Yeah. And we do that. We do that because we become the placators of, well, I'll just do what they want me to do.
Right.
And that's really sad because we have the potential to go so much further. You know, and I kind of knew some of my potential because I had a couple of great teachers, but then they were in a different school. When you move on to a new school, you don't get to see those teachers anymore.
Right.
Well, we have Yvonne with me today from Triad. We'll be right back. You're listening to Town Talk.
Hi, this is Eddie Floyds. I want to tell you about the Wainema Ranch. As a matter of fact, I'm going to invite you to visit Wainema Ranch for one reason. You can visit them online right now and help out where you can with our American heritage, the wild horses and burros at the Wainema Ranch. It is right here north of Reno, Nevada. That's WainemaRanch.com, W-Y-N-E-M-A Ranch.com. Get involved. Visit us today and see why I say my wife runs the ranch and I run my mouth.
Have you been dreaming of owning your own home? For many renters, the inability to save for a down payment keeps them from realizing this dream. I'm Doug Keller of Academy Mortgage and co-host of the All Things Home Radio Show. As the Nevada Housing Division and Nevada Rural Housing Authority participating lender, Academy has your solution. We offer programs featuring 3-5% non-repayable grants to assist with your down payment and closing costs. Our next down payment assistance workshop is Saturday, July 30th at 9 a.m. at the America Matters Media Studio in the Reno Town Mall. Our special guest is Home is Possible Specialist Dwight Pace of the Nevada Housing Division. For more information, call Doug Keller at 775-828-7006. Don't let the lack of a down payment keep you from owning your own home. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 312-085, corporate NMLS 3113.
Northern Nevada's Building and Construction Trade Council is working for a better community for all of us.
We've been partners with local contractors since 1928 to provide qualified, safe, and productive workers. Workers trained in the latest technologies and methods to perform the highest standards of quality and efficiency.
We save taxpayers money by assuring union workers and their families have medical insurance and pension benefits so they won't need public assistance. We also work to keep unqualified contractors with their shoddy work practices from building our bridges, schools, and public buildings.
Our Building and Construction Trades Council supports good jobs in our community. Jobs with a livable wage, basic health and retirement benefits, a safe work environment, and the pride that comes from knowing we are building a better Northern Nevada.
For more information about our local Building and Construction Trades Council, go to bctnn.org. That's bctnn.org. Or call 775-355-9200.
Support the quality contractors who employ skilled union tradesmen. We build it right the first time.
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing brings a bigger smile to my face than cooking up a big meal for the whole family and lots of friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in our country who struggle with hunger. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids. But they can't do it without your help. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Do you have a friend, a family member, or an associate who is suffering from cancer? I mean, any form of cancer. Let me tell you about some national statistics. If you have that friend, family member, or associate who has been diagnosed with stage 4 or beyond cancer, they have a 1.5% to 2% chance of living beyond 5 years unless they go to Dr. James Forsythe at Century Wellness Clinic located in Northern Nevada at 521 Hamel Lane. I'm going to give you a phone number. I want you to call them. Their number is 775-827-0707. The statistics on their ongoing study show about a 71 to 72% chance. So give them a call right now. Tell your family member, friend, or associate 775-827-0707.
businesses, writers, check this out. Go to lrpnv.com to get your printing, publishing, and professional services today. Need a virtual office? A place to receive and forward your mail with professional address and suite number for your business? Someone to answer your telephones? Want to rent a conference room for only $15 an hour? What about that book you've been wanting to have printed? LRP Printing and Business Center can do it for you, and they have a professional assistant on-site daily, Monday through Friday. Just call 775-356-1004. Need copies, business cards, invoices, books, booklets, or graphic design to help brand you or your business? Just call 775-356-1004 or go to lrpnv.com. With a great selection of new and used books, you can get your printing done and a book to entertain you in your time off. And don't forget, you could have your business sponsoring the Bookhound Radio Show, just like Andrew Martoni, author of Little Man on the Map, does every week. Just go to lrpnv.com. That's lrpnv.com or call 775-356-1004. They'll provide solutions for your business and writing projects.
This is Eddie Floyd. Let me tell you about the Comfort Inn and Suites right here near the Airport and Convention Center, a Reno hotel located right on Plum Lane. Check them out yourself. It's 1250 East Plum Lane, and their phone number is 775-682-4444. You heard me right, 775-682-4444. During the winter months, I actually stay at Comfort Inn. Meet Han and the rest of the great people there, like the Baines brothers. You'll find out why I say, and I really mean, it is one of the nicest inns I have ever stayed in my entire life. Only a quarter mile from the International Airport here in Reno. Not only is Comfort Inn more reasonable than other inns, but it also gives you access to a laundry room, an exercise room, and meeting rooms, all included in the unbelievable price to stay at Comfort Inn, including, are you ready? A complete American breakfast, omelets, bacon, sausage, waffles, you name it, that's Comfort Inn. Give them a call, that number, 775-682-4444.
How do you do? Welcome back to Town Talk with Jay Wilson. Today I have Yvonne Linde. I like that way of saying it. From Triad Schools. When did you guys open doors?
We'll be going into our third year for this academic year.
And where are you guys located?
We are in the South Meadows area off of 395 at 780 Trademark. We're in, I purchased a building about a year and a half ago, and it was where Blue Kangaroo used to be.
So it's
a great building. It's already set up for a school. We've remodeled it slightly.
Yeah.
But we were so lucky to be able to find that building.
Now, how did you guys decide to do this? Did you just like know Julie and say, hey, we need to do something? Or
This was a bit of a snowball. So Julie was my older son's teacher in kindergarten. And then my next son came in right after, and I requested Julie again. Julie and I, we weren't, you know, some teachers and parents, they just bond right away. Julie and I, to be honest, we weren't that. I didn't think she liked me. what happened was, it was my older son, and he was in the classroom, and he's going to love me talking about this as he's sitting staring at me.
Hi, Jack. How you doing?
He started having some issues in class, and he didn't want to sit with the other children. He didn't want to sit still. And what I found with Julie is that she never made us feel like Jack was a problem. She was always focused on solutions of what Jack can do.
That's a good thing.
She didn't alienate him, and it was refreshing. Not refreshing. I mean, he was in kindergarten. He's a little kid. That's how a teacher should be.
Right.
So the school year ended, and we knew Jack, you know, was a unique child. And we ran into Julie randomly at a restaurant over the summer. And she had taken a class through the Davidson Institute, which I don't know if you know what that is. It's amazing. Reno is so lucky to have this resource here. And the Davidson Institute is a nonprofit that funds the Davidson Academy that's located at UNR's campus. They actually are a state-funded school that specializes in
talent development.
Yes. Sorry. They work with profoundly gifted children.
Yeah.
And those little terminology, I roll my eyes at it, but you got to call it something.
Yeah.
So they
were. We had to have a name.
Exactly. when we were talking, Julie and I, about what we were going to call the school, I was like, the school for the precocious.
I do love that.
No. Oh, yeah, of course, it was that. Jokingly, no way would we do that. But they work with the top 0.01 percentile. That gets your toe into the door.
Right.
And not saying, I mean, that sounds very elitist. That's not what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is those children needs, they are special needs. They need that type of education.
Right. And people don't realize that just because a child doesn't really show behavioral issues, because the behavioral ones tend to get that attention, which we've all always known that attention is attention and they'll get it some way or another, negative or positive.
Right.
But the ones who are so talented and gifted seem to be like put to the side because they're focusing on, well, this kid has ADHD and ADD and all of these issues. Well, they forget about the other kids over here that, like, well, they're very talented.
Right.
They're gifted, but we're not promoting that part of their gift.
Do you know what? I was having a conversation with, I believe he's a principal of one of the public schools here, and we had a discussion about why gifted education is not funded by the state.
Yeah.
And, well, it's funded, don't get me wrong, but why is special education, the children that are on the lower level, why is the funding always there? And he said what happens is that with a gifted child, you give them the special attention they need, and they go up. So the ability versus performance equal out. So all of a sudden the funding falls away.
Yeah, I've seen that.
With the other, on the other side, you have a special needs child. You can, they need that special support. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But they will continue need that special support, and that ability and academic performance will always be a discrepancy.
Correct.
So they'll always have the funding.
That makes very much, that's a really great analogy because it makes total sense now to a lot of things, not just with schools, but other disability issues that I've seen that, you know, once they start progressing, oh, they don't need that money anymore.
Right.
Well, yeah. What do you mean they don't need it anymore?
I think, you know, the public school system, what, you know, as far as the gifted education, is what it's saying is that a gifted child can make it through the system and be fine. And
yeah,
they can't
but
be fine.
Not excel.
They don't excel. They're not given what they need to reach their potential. And that potential is a very vague and a term that gets thrown around a lot.
Yeah.
But
true.
Yeah. Yes, they're not. Their needs aren't being met.
They're not. And then it takes them years to get back on track, honestly, to try to excel, if ever.
Right.
I've seen so many people who had great dreams and aspirations. But because they never really got that support, they just barely make it in life.
You know, and that's the one of the things I found interesting watching children interact with the teachers is the teachers, the adults around them, they start to lose trust in their teachers, or even their adults around them. They're asked to jump through hoops.
Right.
And the hoop's held up, someone points and say, jump. Does it make sense? No. But, you know,
we do it.
Yeah, that's exactly
it. We do it. Yeah, it's very true. It's heartbreaking sometimes because, I have seen so many children I have known throughout my life that you know they have a spark in them. And you know there is something special about that child, but they don't get the support or the tools that they need to make that spark really burn.
Absolutely.
And it just breaks my heart because now I see them like they're working, you know, they work in like a 9-to-5 job, blah, blah, blah. And they're making it, but they had so much potential.
Right.
And it breaks my heart because I know how I've had so much potential and it's taken me many years to get back to where I believe I'm where I'm at and where I'm supposed to excel at.
Right. And well, you've hit it right on the dot. When you look at these children, and you know, once again, I need to put the disclaimer in there. Not all the children at our school are gifted. That's when I start talking about, that's where we started. That's where the passion was.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the reason I, you know, you start talking to me about the school. I keep going off on this little side part.
That's okay.
Because that's where my passion is. But one of the things that when we did the school, and you know, it's because the needs of my own children.
Right.
If you had that gifted child that doesn't necessarily function well with their peers or within society, and if you could support that child, give them the tools that they need emotionally,
yeah,
what could this child do? So we've added on, we work with a group of local psychologists, theory and practice, and we're developing a social emotional learning curriculum. And it sounds cheesy.
No, it sounds very forward thinking. And the direction that should be taken in education.
You brought up the thing earlier on in the talk about balancing your checkbook.
Right.
Basic function that you know you're going to need in your life.
Yeah.
But we don't teach the children how to communicate with each other.
Nobody teaches you about credit either. Mm-hmm. It's things that you'll need. Don't take all those student loans out, kids, let me tell you.
I graduated bachelor's art degree, $40,000.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
I qualified for a welding job when I was done.
Sorry, but I understand that. I know so many people have these degrees and they're nowhere near what they used to do.
My art degree didn't do anything. Ended up going into user interface design.
You're listening to Town Talk today. I have Yvonne Blade, a wonderful person, about Triad School. We'll be back right after this message.
Be between 12 and 24 years old and going through a difficult time? It's tough to be young and struggling, but there are plenty of resources for you.
Check out renoyouthnetwork.com to learn where you can get help finding food, housing, education, jobs, and other services. Reno Youth Network can be used from your phone, computer, or tablet.
renoyouthnetwork.com, your free online resource guide.
Picnic Pub and Patio isn't just a new downtown Reno restaurant. It's an entirely new idea in dining. Picnic has a comfortable outdoor deck and community kitchen where you can barbecue your own meal. Purchase fresh locally produced beef, pork, or chicken from Picnic, or bring your own and fire up one of the commercial grills outside. The friendly, knowledgeable Picnic staff will give you grilling advice if you need it and let you use their seasonings and cooking utensils. Then kick back on the deck and enjoy your delicious creation along with one of over 20 beers on tap and prepared Picnic sides such as collard greens and potato salad. Inside, Picnic is a turn-of-the-century sports lounge. Catch the big game inside the comfortable Craftsman interior with a beer or cocktails made with fresh herbs from Picnic's edible garden. Picnic is located at 235 Flint Street, right across from the Great Basin Food Co-op. Get more information at facebook.com/picnicpub. That's facebook.com/PIGNICPUB.
Old Tales of Nevada Past and Present, a TV show that tells the story of Nevada's past, present, and future. Whether it's mining, gaming, agriculture, business, music, art, entrepreneurs, authors, we cover it all on Old Tales of Nevada Past and Present. Why do we do it? To bring pride to those who live in Nevada. Old Tales of Nevada Past and Present, we make history live for pride of Nevada. Watch the show every Sunday at 7 a.m. on the CW Network on Charter Channel 6 or 790 or Dish and Direct TV on Channel 46.
A Proper Fit Footwear in Reno Town Mall, your store for all your foot pain needs. We can assist you with everything from finding that perfect fitting shoe to orthotics, both custom and over the counter. On your feet all day, having foot, knee, hip, or back pain? A supportive shoe may be the answer by realigning the joints to evenly distribute your weight and relieve pressure points. We carry a range of styles and brands, including dress, work, casual, and boots. Get your shopping done for that difficult to shop for friend or family member with a shoe they will use for years. We also have gift cards. We are located at 4001 South Virginia Street in the Reno Town Mall. Our hours are Monday through Saturday from 10 until 6. You can reach us at 775-323-3757. A Proper Fit Footwear, a shoe for every foot.
Hi there, I'm Hugh Roy Marshall of the Marshall Mint in Virginia City, Nevada. I'm proud to announce that our 7-ingot set honoring the V&T Railroad is now finished.
That's right, Hugh Roy. These beautiful 999 silver ingots celebrate the engines from the world-famous V&T Railroad and honor Nevada's sesquicentennial. These limited edition treasures can be purchased only at the Marshall Mint in Virginia City, Nevada.
Or visit us at marshallmint.com to get yours today.
And we're back. Ta-da! I'm Jay Wilson. You're listening to Town Talk, brought to you by New D Computers, Disability Resources, and America Media Radio. America Matters Media. I always read it and still don't get it right. You know, I have a block there or something. Today, I have Yvonne Blende from Triad School. And we are talking about the different kinds of education. We were talking about how it got started and totally went on a tangent. Sorry about that. Let's go ahead and get back into that. So you saw her at you met her at a restaurant.
She was, yes, she was, sounds like a bad joke.
Sorry. I know. Two ladies walking to a restaurant.
Well, I ran into her and she was taking a class at the Davidson Institute on gifted education. And at this point, we've been working with my older child, still didn't understand what was going on with him.
Right.
She said, I wrote my final paper on your son, and I think you need to have his IQ assessed.
Oh.
And here's a book for you to read. I read the book. You know, it just starts off as, you know, your normal thing. If you have a gifted child, these are the 10 things that are most common that you're going to experience.
Yeah.
And they're... It was all academic. And
of
I'm
course.
Like, eh, I don't know. He's, yeah, maybe. He's, you know,
might
he
apply.
Did fine.
Yeah.
Yes. But then it got to the emotional side.
Oh.
And it was a total checklist of my child. And I thought, well, I don't know. Maybe.
That's
okay.
Incredible.
So we went to a local psychologist, had a whole gamut of tests done, not just the IQ test. Because once again, we didn't know what was going on with them.
And the IQ is so, you know. Yeah.
Exactly. And he wasn't that child. And I always say that you have those one parents that, you know, the child is passionate, just dives into, you know, who knows what.
Yeah.
But they're passionate. Yes, maybe, I don't know, sometimes. But we had it done and it came back. He was highly gifted. And we're like, oh, well, at least we know what direction we should work towards as far as finding resources. And we had him slated for one of the county programs, the SWAS program. And then we started seeing similar issues with my younger child. And we're like, okay, we're going to get ahead of the ball on this one. And my youngest one was still in kindergarten. There's no county program set up for that young.
No.
But they still need help at that age.
Yeah.
So I looked, even for my older child, I looked all over the country for different programs. Couldn't find anything I really liked.
Difficult.
Yes. And Davidson Academy doesn't start until sixth grade.
Right.
And even at that point, you have to have that very, very, very unique child to get into their program.
You do. And usually it's a magnet school that only takes so many kids at a time. You have to test and then get on a waiting list for a year, 2 years, 3 years, four, whatever.
And then your class is still, you know,
30 to
plus
one,
kids. And these children need more attention than that. So... We started off with the idea of we're going to homeschool my younger child.
Right.
And
that's a great idea.
It's, yeah. yeah we
it's
were
such
afraid.
A wonderful idea.
So that's what started it. And then we're like, oh, well, maybe we should. Another friend said, you know, we're kind of interested in homeschooling or doing it with you.
Right.
And okay. And then, well, maybe we should, what if we hired a teacher? Because at this point we're looking at an online, county's online program, which gives you more flexibility of how your child learns, how fast they go.
Yes.
And I talked to them. I said, is it okay if we hired a teacher to do this, to work with their children? And the guy said, absolutely. If you could afford that, hats off.
Yeah.
Well, so then all of a sudden we didn't want to do it in our house because we wanted that separation, school, home.
You do need that.
So we looked at the idea of going to the public library.
Mm-hmm.
And then
the
one we were looking at the South Valley's library.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I think they didn't open up till 10 or 10 and 11. And so it's kind of late. And so we're like, well, what if we rented an office space?
Yeah.
Like really small, cheap little thing. And that's exactly where it started.
Ah.
And the problem is that if you decide to teach homeschool outside of your homeschool, then you're falling under a different category.
Yeah.
And
you have to
licensing, be licensed.
Insurance.
So, yes.
Yeah,
and
yes.
That's how this all started. It was that. And Julie and I started, how we ended up keeping this going is she was interested what was going on with Jack.
Yeah.
And she just kept in touch because, you know, she took interest of what process we were going through as a family. And it was interesting is we met for dinner and we both came to the same conclusion at the same time.
Wow.
really bizarre. So we rented an office space, took a year lease out because we didn't know what to expect. It went amazing. And we knew for the next year, the children were playing in a parking lot for recess.
Wow.
Yes. So, you know, it was functional, but not where I've joked we were gypsies. And I'm like, if I was a parent that came to look at the school and you're in an office space that you block off the parking lot for the kids to play with, I don't know. I don't think my trust would be quite there. So we started looking to rent a larger space, maybe have something built out, and we couldn't find anything. And so then, maybe if we're going to do something, maybe we should look at purchasing something.
Yeah.
So that's exactly, Blue Kangaroo building came on the market. And I shouldn't say came on the market. They just dropped their price on the building, and it had been for sale for 2 years.
Wow.
And we got lucky.
You did get lucky. Now, the school's at 780 Trademark Drive. To contact the school, 636-7408.
Correct.
That will get you there. You have a wonderful website.
Thank you.
It's triad-school.com.
Correct.
Yeah, T-R-I-A-D hyphen.
Got to get that hyphen in there. Yeah. You end up at a school in Ohio.
That's a long drive.
Yes.
That's a commute. If you're interested, go on, take a look. It's very easy to navigate around the portal, too. It's wonderful. Everything is on there, starting from your tuitions to the academics that you're teaching, your criteria. Everything is on there. I love this site.
Yes, the designers did a wonderful job.
Yeah. Who designed this fabulous site?
Design on Edge.
Oh, what a great company. I love that company. Yeah, Design on the Edge.
Yes.
It's a wonderful company. Thank you, Courtney Meredith. You did a great job on this site. I love this site. Everything's on there. If you have any questions, go to this website. You also have your Facebook, right?
Correct.
Which I love Facebook. Because that's where you start with everything.
Yes, I'm not a big Facebook person. So one of the very nice teachers, Miss Kelly, maintains the Facebook page for us.
That's really, you know, it's so wonderful when you get teachers actually interested in it too. When you can find the teachers that still have that passion in them, that want to make a change and make a difference, that's all it takes is that spark.
And that's it. And we have all of our teachers coming back from last year. I do my best. I truly want them to be happy because it will show through with the children. I want them to feel supported. I want them to have the resources that they need to give these kids what they deserve. Right.
Now, do you guys have scholarship programs yet?
You know,
are you trying to set something up?
We're trying to set something up. You know, when we first started the school, I looked at the idea of doing it as a charter school.
Right.
Oh. And, you know, because I'm not proud that we're a private school that charges a reasonable. We're right in the middle of what the private schools are.
You are.
If you back out of the parochial schools. But I still, I believe that it should be open for other children and that can't hit that financial.
Right.
The state is coming up with some very good ideas. There is a scholarship it's need-based through the state that you can apply for. And what's interesting, and I don't think they've done a very good job of advertising this, that businesses, they pay a modified business tax.
Correct.
Okay, so you have a choice as a business that you can pay that to the state, or you can decide to donate that into a scholarship fund.
What a great idea.
And it's nowhere on the form. I've looked at it.
Wow, that's a very, very, very well-kept secret.
Yes, it is. And I encourage every business, it's going to take some legwork at first to try to find out the right information because I haven't found it out yet.
Wow.
There's that. So that one is need-based. I believe, don't quote me on this, it's up just under $8,000. And
that's a great deal.
It can be used for any type of education needs, from tutoring to private school education.
Right.
To, your child needs a laptop. It is for whatever education need you decide that you have for your child.
That's something that everybody should look into, especially when you're talking about your child. I have a 3-year-old daughter who I'm already afraid of and where she's going, because I would get very precocious.
Yes.
That word you use. Very. She's got a lot of my talents and it scares me. But I will go to hell and high water to search the schools and stuff. I mean, we may not stay here because I have found some schools in other states that are phenomenal. And they're a magnet school, mm-hmm. and their scores are amazing. I mean, nationally, they're amazing. So, and I do a lot of research on different states.
I did the same.
To find a school that I know that she is going to excel in. Because I know how hard it was for me just going to public school, which it's not anyone's fault.
No.
But because of our aptitudes, we do need a little more, you know, training and tools.
Well, and I think you've hit it right. Even if you go to a school that academically is strong, if you have that child,
yeah,
that teacher doesn't necessarily have the training or maybe just the awareness of how to deal with that child.
And that's true, too, because they were never told this could happen.
Right.
Even
in our past school, the teacher that my oldest son had, she was one of the teachers 110% dedicated to her job.
Yeah. Until it was beaten out of her.
No. Yeah, exactly.
And that happens so often. I have seen young people come out of college, right? I want to do this for all the kids. And then bam, 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 they hit all these walls and they're like, well, I can't change anything.
Yes.
But you can if you keep trying and get the right people on board. You're listening to Town Talk. I have Yvonne Blinde from Triad Schools. We'll be back right after these messages.
Business owners and entrepreneurs know that good information is priceless. Just one great idea can make all the difference. Hi, this is Joe Morabito, host of CEO Business Mind. Each week, in one fast-paced hour, we share lots of proven tips and ideas to help you be more successful in business. Don't miss a minute of CEO Business Mind with me, Joe Morabito, right here on 1180 AM KCKQ.
You did the unimaginable. You beat cancer. And ever since your victory, the sun shines brighter, air smells sweeter, and every moment you spend with loved ones is even more precious. But now, you've just been told that you have cancer. Again. There's a caring team of experts nearby and ready to help you fight cancer again at mycancercameback.com. Whether the cancer returned to the same location in your body or has now moved to a different location, there are non-surgical treatment options available even if you've already had surgery, radiation, or chemotherapy to fight cancer the first time. Find out more about treating recurrent and metastatic cancer with a caring team of experts close to home at mycancercameback.com and stay undefeated.
Hi, this is Eddie Floyd. I want to thank Jan Hermson. She's the owner of LaRue Press here in Northern Nevada. Had enough faith in me that she actually published my very first book. It's called Final Breath. It's a love story. It's a love story that takes place on the Wainema Ranch. Why do I tell you that? Because all the proceeds of this little gift book are going to our American heritage, the wild horses and mustangs at the Wild Horse Sanctuary there at Wainema Ranch. Want to check them out? Go to WainemaRanch.com. Write it down. It's WYNEMA Ranch.com. WainemaRanch.com. Check it out. Or if you would like additional information about the book or the ranch, give me a call, 775-384-4444.
My name is Ruth Rusi, and this is how I live United. I read to children as part of United Way's education program. It helps them create links between language and literacy and prepares them for a better academic future. I figure I have the time and they have the need. My name is Ruth Rusi. I help kids prepare to succeed in school. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Surprise, we're back. We're chatting off the air. Sorry, everybody. Welcome back to Town Talks. I'm Jay Wilson. We are brought to you by Nudie Computers, Disability Resources, and America Matters Media. Look, I got it right. Yay. If you'd like to call in today and talk to us, have some questions about the show or Triad Schools, that would be great. 844-790-8255. Or if you're a texter, text us to 775-237-2266. We'd love to hear from you. And I'm back with Yvonne Blinde. Ta-da! Back to Triad Schools. I love... How did you come up with the name?
Oh, that was hard. It was really hard. So we started off, I believe we touched on that subject of social emotional learning.
Correct.
So we started off with the idea social emotional academic.
Okay.
And I was, that's of course what I was very passionate about, of what it was one of the founding reasons of why we wanted to start the school. But no one really got it. They weren't understanding it. And in that, we started pulling back on it. Some of the marketing material still says it. And we moved towards that custom education. We haven't changed a thing about how the school is functioning. We just changed the focus of what we talk to people about. And it's hit a lot better. We just started marketing the school about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And since we started marketing the school, we've really received a lot more calls, more interest. Oh. We're not going to be, our goal is not to be a large school. So this year we're going to take it up to 20 students. Next year we'll take it up to 30 students.
Right.
But that is, some people love it. Some people don't want the small school, that small school. They want more of a social atmosphere for their children.
Well, yeah, the social aspect is very important in development of kids, especially. Yes. That's why I'm adamant with my daughter that she goes to daycare at least 3 times a week so that she has that social interaction and she's not stunted.
Right.
You know, because it's very important for kids to understand socialization. And she's an only child, especially. She has to understand the sharing aspect and the talking, but she has no problem with it. She's very active. But I love the triad part of it because it's all three of those things working together. And it's not from Charmed. Thank you very much. If anyone's ever watched Charmed, the triad. No, don't go there. Those three things working together, it's like that. The triangle, they support each other. All three sides support each other,
right,
to make a whole.
And there's also the aspect is when you look through our website or the marketing, we talk a lot about the school, the family, and the student.
Yeah, and because it's very important to get all of that information to really make, I guess I could say, an educated plan for that student.
Right.
So how do you do that? Is there certain criteria they have to meet, testing, or what do you guys do to take in a student
and
plan for them?
It's not so much of you have to test into the school.
Yeah. Well, nobody likes that word.
It's an
assessment. I like that new one.
So what we do is we take in consideration what children are already there at the school,
right,
where the new child would fall within the school, and you know, try to balance out the expected academic outcomes. So it also really involves a lot of the parents, of the person, not personality. It's not like they have to be nice and
right.
You know, it's
it would help, but
it is nice. I prefer it, but
yeah.
You know, I kind of joke that our academic morals have to be aligned.
Yes. Oh, that's a great phrase right there. The academic morals. They have to have the same direction that you guys are taking the child, and the child needs to go.
Right, right.
Because if they just send you to school and they don't do anything at home.
Oh, you just hit it right on. You know, when I talk to some of the parents that come in, I kind of blunt. I say, if you're the parents that want to drop off your child to the school and expect us to do 100% to educate your child, we're probably not.
You probably shouldn't have had a child. Sorry. That's the way I feel.
My husband would have a discussion with you on his ideas about that one. But, you know, we want, the parents need to be involved. That child needs to see that united front.
They do. And because they need to feel that they could come to the parent if they are having an issue also, and talk to them about it. Like, I don't understand this. And the parent might not understand it either. But then you show them how to find that information and the answer to your question.
Right. I want the child to know that the adults around there, around them in their life, are there to support them.
Yeah. 100% at least. Come on.
Exactly.
You've got to be there for them. Otherwise, you end up with, and I really try not to, but this generation of entitlement just disgusts and scares me.
Yes.
I'll be honest. And I think a lot of that is, unfortunately, is that they haven't had to really work for some of this stuff that they need to learn.
I agree. I've talked about this before. It's hard as a parent. You don't want to see your child struggle.
Right.
But it's healthy. They need that struggle. Talking to my own children and trying to understand why they don't understand some of the things, why like you said, entitlement. Well, it's because they've never experienced hardship.
Correct.
And as a parent, you don't want your child to experience hardship.
You don't, but you want them to grow. My yes. parents, when I was young, there were nine of us total, okay? And I came along so late that my parents were okay. They were doing well. My brothers and sisters always had to, when they were a whole different generation, they had to work in the fields and stuff to help ends meet and stuff like that. But my parents made sure they got education. So when I came along and my parents were comfortable, my mom still made me every summer. I would do something. I have picked grapes. I have picked okra. I have picked corn. I have picked peaches. I have worked with gardeners. I mean, she made me get that work ethic and know what it is to work for something, because she didn't want me to be a spoiled little child like she saw around us in Palm Springs.
Absolutely.
And it gave me a lot of inner strength too. And I hated it at the time, of course, but I'm so glad that she did it. And I will pass that on to my child, that you have to work for things. Otherwise you don't get anything. And you're not appreciative if it's just handed to you. Because I've seen that growing up in Palm Springs a lot. Kids were just my first car was a 68 Dodge Dart. And it's parked next to a BMW, a Mercedes, a Jag, a Porsche. I mean, they had all kinds of cars.
Oh.
But I had to work for that. And then those kids that didn't, they were the first to fall into the drugs. They were the first to fall into the alcohol. They were the first to go to jail. You know, I mean, I didn't stay out of it for long, unfortunately, but it's still, they were worse off than I was because their parents gave them everything. I understand that aspect of what you want to do, but you're not doing your kid a favor.
No.
Those kids were so stunted in life for a long time. I felt so bad for them. Even though they were spoiled, they had so much more for me. I still felt bad for them.
Well, it's just like what we were talking about, you know, as far as the education goes. You're not taught how to learn, you're not going to, and you're going to have a very cold slap to reality.
You do. You get a cold slap, you know, and sometimes it's a slap of handcuffs or whatever. But yeah, it will jump up and slap you in the face half the time. How do you actually set the criteria, a curriculum for a child? What are you looking at in that child when you first meet them?
Well, what we're looking at is where they're at academically as far as grade level.
Okay.
And are they just grade level? Are they below? Are they above?
Right.
How does that fit in with our teaching staff that's there and other children that's already there? So if we, we try to balance the classroom.
Oh,
and
very good.
That's hard. And what we're finding is because we do custom curriculums, we do... we have specialty subjects like Spanish. We do Spanish 4 days a week. Yeah. So you may have you have a child that may be in fifth grade that has never spoken Spanish before.
Right.
And at our school, we might have a first grader that's already taken Spanish for a year. So that fifth grader might be with first graders to learn how to speak Spanish.
And that's fine. I mean, it doesn't reflect on the child.
No.
It shouldn't.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, for me, it's fine with me. I don't have to do the scheduling. My partner does it.
That's funny.
Yes.
That's not my job.
But that's one of the reasons why we're keeping the school small. This is a different model of what we're trying. And we need to make sure this model is going to work. We want to give the children the best that we can. And we do that as at this point, we're trying to do the best we can for instance, our academic assessments that we do. We have them done by a psychologist, theory and practice. It's given one-on-one twice a year.
Oh, that's good.
We do that, it's
twice a year, really?
Twice a year, yes. So we want that's the incredible. Idea of, we want to see the growth.
Yeah, and so many times kids are not given another assessment. They're just, here's one. Oh, look, this is where you're at. Well, and that's where they stay throughout their academic life.
Well, here's another thing, is that when most of these academic assessments that the schools give, they are given for a grade level.
That's very true.
So if your child is in second grade, you're going to get tested at second grade. Well, if your child's level is above that, well, it's not going to teach or assess it. So this academic assessment we use, it's grade level and it's also age also. So it's a nationally normed assessment.
Right.
You know, you have to have
otherwise
that.
Otherwise, you can't be credited anywhere else. Yeah.
Yes.
You can't go to another school. You go to another school and you're first grade all of a sudden. What the heck?
Exactly. So we try to make decisions in the school, which is in the best interest of the child, not the best interest necessarily of the school financially.
Well, and that unfortunately is what happens with schools now, is that they have to think financial, not academic.
It's a business.
It really is.
And,
it scares me. Well, no wonder the prisons are a business now, too.
Exactly.
Just saying, that's kind of a direct reflection, if you ask me. I don't know.
Yes. And so we're, you know, it's a startup business. I fund the school currently right now until it can stand on its 2 feet. And I make decisions based on what my partner and I feel is best for the children. So right now, the children are getting wonderful opportunities for the price that's being paid.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, yeah, your prices are not, they're fair. They're
you
more
think
than
so?
Fair.
That makes me feel bad because, you know, parents call up and, you know.
Oh, I know, but they see that one number. They see that one number, well, you know, and they're like, oh, my God.
Well, they don't have add-on fees like a lot of schools, private schools. You go in there and it's literally like, well, here's your base and we're going to add on this and this and this. Oh, by the time you get done, there's $2,000 more.
Yeah, you might as well have gone to UNR.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So this is Yvonne Blinde from Triad School. Triad is located at 780 Trademark Drive. It's in the South Meadows area. Their number is 775-636-7408. If you're interested and you think your child may be gifted, I say contact them and just to find out. Just give them a call. I mean, they're wonderful people.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Town Talk. I'm Jay Wilson, and we will see you next week. Thanks.